From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, More Idaho Matters right now. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Here in Idaho, more than 300,000 people provide at-home care to family members in need. And while performing these services can be fulfilling, it can also be challenging, which is why every November we celebrate National Family Caregivers Month, taking time to recognize the important work that caregivers do and ways we can help support them. So joining us today to talk more about this is Marilyn Sword, coordinator of the Idaho Caregiver Alliance and a member of the Our Care Can't Wait Coalition. Marilyn, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be here.
So let's just start with the basics, Marilyn. What are family caregivers? What do they do? And who do they support?
Well, thanks very much. I think kind of is self-explanatory. Family caregivers are people who help loved ones with daily assistance they need to stay at home, to live at home. And I think some examples might be helpful. So think about your coworker who comes in late or has to leave early so she can take care of her mom who lives with her, or the man who took early retirement so he and his wife could have some time to spend together, only to learn that she has been diagnosed with dementia. Or the young mom who has a child with a developmental disability and her husband, who's a veteran, has a traumatic brain injury and she's working full time to support her family. So that's kind of who we're talking about in terms of family caregivers. And your intro said it, they're all caring for people out of love and or responsibility, but it can be exhausting and take a very heavy emotional, physical, and financial toll on all of them. And these are just some of those 300,000 Idahoans you referenced who every year take care of family members. While 70%, which is higher than the national average of 61%, 70% of them are also working full or part-time jobs. These folks all together form the backbone of Idaho's long-term care system. And they save the state millions of dollars. And you're right, it takes a toll. It's a joy and a burden all at the same time. So the situation is only going to get worse as boomers like me age and more people move to Idaho and people want to stay at home.
So why is November National Family Caregivers Month? I mean, you know, why take an entire month to really elevate this issue?
Sure. The November as National Family Caregiver Month was declared by the president about 10 years ago. So it's a rallying point that states can take action around. We're always working to recognize family caregivers, but November we condense things in November to accelerate that recognition, if you will. We have different social media posts that we do every workday, the Idaho Caregiver Alliance. We gather stories from caregivers and share those with media, with policymakers, with really anybody who will listen. And this year, for each of those 10 years, we've had the governor do a proclamation declaring Idaho as November as Family Caregiver Month in Idaho. This year, Lieutenant Governor Scott Behnke will be reading that proclamation on November 21st. At 10 a.m. on the second floor of the Capitol. We'd love for people to come and join us to one more thing to recognize family caregivers.
So let's go back to these family caregivers, Marilyn. What are some of the benefits of being a family caregiver?
I think one of the things is you're helping your family member stay at home, because that's where most family care recipients want to be. And with that help, they can live at home. There are, I think there's joy and reward and a feeling of accomplishment for family caregivers who are taking on basically a second job, maybe a third job, to be caring for that family member. And but I want to emphasize also that family caregivers, it's not always a 24/7 situation. It can be I was caring for my mom who lived 5 minutes away from me, and I would go out and manage her medications, and I would take her to her doctor's appointments. I'd take her grocery shopping. I'd help her in her yard. And so those are some of the things that it gave us time together that we valued, both of us. So I think it's different for everybody. If you've seen one caregiver, you've seen one caregiver. So the benefits to them are kind of how they approach life and the kind of supports that they get. If they feel isolated and overburdened and kind of desperate, then they a benefit to them would be to connect them with some supports. Loneliness is one of the key dangers of aging. And so if they can connect with others through church or work or community activities, or the Idaho Caregiver Alliance has something called the Family Caregiver Navigator, which is a telephonic-based free service to anybody who's a caregiver. If you want to call, you'll get a listening ear, somebody who can help you develop kind of some things you can work on to help make your caregiving more rewarding and a little easier on you, and hand you off to do a warm handoff to resources. So that's kind of the benefits, if you will, mm-hmm. to family caregiving.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier, you know, you see people who are these family caregivers, and so many times they're overwhelmed, you know, they're stressed. What are some of the other challenges, Marilyn, that you see that family caregivers face?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is front and center on most family caregivers' minds right now is the direct care workforce shortage. The pandemic brought this home, but it's not let up since then. But that means access to direct care workers who can come into your home and help supplement what the family does, or if the person doesn't have a family, they're the primary people that come into the home to help the person get out of bed, bathe, eat, get to doctor's appointments, those kinds of things. And those are paid caregivers, direct care workers. They're sometimes certified nursing assistants or personal care assistants or home health aides. They have a variety of names. But Idaho has about 33,000 people with disabilities, aging adults, and families who depend on direct care workers. And the Office of Performance Evaluation just did a study and found that we're short 3,000 direct care workers, which has a direct impact on how those people live, what their quality of life. And a problem associated with that is this work is hard. Direct care work is hard. It's low pay, about $14 an hour. So you're competing with burger flipping at McDonald's. No opportunity for advancement or moving up a career ladder, no healthcare benefits or vacation. So it's really very hard work compared to other types of jobs with that at that level of pay. But the reason that pay is low is because it's funded through Medicaid. So Medicaid has to get adequate funding from the legislature in order to provide providers with the funding that they need to pay these staff more. So turnover is high. It's really frustrating for families who have somebody come into their home for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden they don't show up, or they moved on to take another job because of that high turnover. We recognize that direct care workers, even in facilities, are in a shortage. So that's really been a key thing for family caregivers right now. So the Caregiver Alliance, direct care work providers, The disability community have all come together to form something called the Our Care Can't Wait Coalition. And the purpose of that is to obviously work together to advocate for how you can advocate for yourself. How do you work with the legislature? How do you tell your story? Mm-hmm. How do you write your letter? And then urge legislators to adequately fund Medicaid so that they can oversee and fund these services that people depend on every day.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, Marilyn, I mean, we know that there are healthcare worker shortages across the country, including here in Idaho, as you just mentioned. Do you know how big of a gap we have in direct care workers?
What I would have to rely on is that report that was provided to the legislature in March, mm-hmm. and that is with 33,000 currently 33,000 people needing this service or using this service, we need another 3,000 direct care workers mm-hmm. to just meet the needs of those 33,000, and that 33,000 is going to grow. So mm-hmm. we're behind the curve. So we've got some catch up to do to build that and build and sustain that workforce. The last couple of years, the legislature has increased some funding for some types of services, which is great. But some of those services hadn't seen an increase in 20 years. So it can sound like a really big increase in one legislative session, but really they're playing catch up. So mm-hmm. I think, it's just we're just really working hard to raise the awareness of policymakers, have them put a face to these numbers and see how this lack of support, this lack of direct care workforce support impacts the family, impacts the person with the disability, and impacts, it really has a ripple effect on those other healthcare shortages you mentioned. There's mm-hmm. I know there's a healthcare shortage task force meeting, and they're focusing really on the kind of medical care community, nurses, doctors, specialists. There's a shortage across the board, particularly in rural areas. But direct care workers are kind of feeders into that system. And if you don't have adequate direct care workers, then people are going to show up at the emergency room more often, or have health problems that they might not have if they had the direct care workers supporting them.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time, Marilyn, coming in and talking with us about this. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say caregiving reaches across the spectrum, touches everybody in Idaho. If you want more information, go to powerindependentliving.org, and that will be the doorway to get you involved.
Well, thank you for that. We've been talking with Marilyn Sword, coordinator of the Idaho Caregiver Alliance, about National Family Caregivers Month. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.